And I think, again, to just underline, as a holy priest, the function is to offer up. As a royal priest, the function is to show forth. So we just need to keep these two things in mind. And in both of them, they are not an outward thing only. It's something that comes from within. I'm reminded of, I think it's in Judges 8, when Gideon asked the two princes of Midian about the men that they killed. And they said, and they asked him, what did they look like? They said in Judges chapter 8, they look like you. Every one of them resemble the child of the king. The resemblance, the features of a child of a king. Are we resemble and display Christ here? They were called Christian in Antioch. Why? Nobody had a name tag saying, I'm a Christian. No, they resemble Christ, that the people have no other name to call them but Christian. And it's the whole idea of bearing that, showing forth, it comes in our words, it comes in our deeds, but the whole attitude, again, the expression, the lifestyle, it show forth. They look at us, they know that they are with Christ. They know we are Christian. The way we speak, the way we conduct ourselves, the way we behave, even as stranger and pilgrim here, because that's the character of 1 Peter. They are stranger and pilgrim here, royal and holy priesthood, but they are stranger and pilgrim here. When the world look at them, they know that they resemble Christ. They resemble, they show forth the virtue of Him that called you out of darkness into His marvels.
When it comes to display, as you're saying, when you think about the trying to explain this by making an example of the royal family, right? So they dress a certain way, they behave a certain way, hopefully, or you don't know what they do that doesn't fit in with that. And what would it be like if there were nobody else to compare them to? So if it was just the royal family, I don't know if they would still be that way, because there'd be nothing to, that's the way the world is. Yeah. But for us, I don't think the display is just for the world. I think we would show the dignity of Christ and our priesthood, even if there was nobody else there, if we lived in the middle of nowhere. If you look in chapter 1, you know, the angels are designed to look at this whole fact that things are being revealed to men and shown forth in men. So it's just the way that we should be. It's not, we don't want to think it's, I'm going to go and show off to the world. You know, I was thinking of Mordecai, because Haman was the one who had all the regal glory, right? And then everybody bowed down to him except Mordecai. So Mordecai was really the only one who was living properly. And then what happens? He's able to help the king by thwarting this conspiracy. And the king says, what are we going to do for the one that I want to
honor,
the one that the king desires to honor? And so what happens? Haman has to himself do it. And now Mordecai is the one with the regal. But it's not until the end. And that's where it came before, that it's at the manifestation that the world, appearance, when you come in verse 12, glorify God in the day of visitation. So we can't come out in the world expecting to have honor and glory in the world now and have it recognized. We show it forth because we're reflecting Him, but it's not in order to gain something from the world.
In fact, it'll be mocked. It will not be recognized.
Yeah.
It'll be mocked.
I think we have that thought in a previous verse in between here. In verse 7, it says, to you therefore who believe is the preciousness, but to the disobedient the stone which the builders cast away is worthless. This has become head of the corner and a stone of stumbling and rock of offense. Who stumble at the word, becoming disobedient, to which also they have been appointed. And I think if we remember that Peter is addressing the dispersion, he's addressing the Jewish people, and this is in contrast to a Jewish people as a nation that had rejected the word that the Lord had given them.
I think it's important to know, though, these things are taught. You have to go before the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know how to do these things. You know, I'm reminded I'm adopted. And when I first came into my house, my parents didn't expect me to live and behave like a John Marino. I had to be taught these things. And as you learn and learn and learn, it's not, oh, well, now I'm a John Marino, I don't need to learn anymore. No, I'm constantly learning how to live in a family and behave as someone that's part of a family. And in the same way, the Lord is teaching us these things. We're not just suddenly you know, we're made royal, but we don't know how to be royal. We're now given God's light, but we were just dark. Yeah. We were just living in darkness. We don't know how to behave like this. And in the same way that my parents taught me and still teach me.
That's why we have the Spirit of God.
Yes.
And we have the Word of God. Yes. He is the one who taught us, teach us how to, our etiquette.
Yes.
In the royal court and even outside.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I wanted to just, you know, as we, our time is just about up. One of the things that is very interesting here, it says that, we are to show forth the virtues. The virtues. Very often we can make the mistake of thinking that things that we do, or the way that we do things is the virtue. And it's not the way that you do the things. So, you know, in some, you know, traditions, you dress a certain way, you use a certain language, and we do that too. and so we kind of put these things as externals and put check marks against them and say, well, then I'm at this level of royal distinction. And we have to be very careful, because you can't accomplish a divine reality through a fleshly means. And so it says that we might show forth the virtues. What are the characteristics? What are the characteristics and characters of who has called us? What makes God God? And what he wants to produce in us is those features that people will look at us and says, you know what? Those are people who have been with Jesus. Those are people, truly, as it says in 1 Corinthians 14, man, God is in this place. Why? Because there is a group of people who are in this priesthood who recognize that now their major and primary concern are the things that are of interest to God, the things that pertain to God. What is God's interest? What is that great mystery that he's revealed and made known to us now? That he's going to head up all things in that one man, in Christ. And so everything is centered around the person of Christ. And so when that becomes my main objective, my main goal, then it's less about rules and regulations on what this looks like as much as it is the character being reproduced, in which it says he's got his father's eyes, or he speaks like his father. It identifies us that we are belong to him and our occupation is him. And as we've been sharing, it's about this drawing near. And so the education, the instruction, I got to draw near. I have to sit to hear what the Lord wants to give me, wants to show me of himself. I have to be there. I have to do like David says. It's going to cost me. It's going to cost me my time. It's going to cost me to put away things that are distracting and time-consuming, that have no merit and no value. This is real practical stuff that I think we can really thank the Lord that he's bringing it to our attention, because when I realize this is the distinction, that my occupation is with the things that pertain to God, that I draw near to God, that I can represent and live in such a way that my whole occupation is with what God is interested in and advancing that interest, I then respond in praise, confessing his name, offering myself, offering my resources, offering my time, because I want to advance. That's where I've been called to advance that interest.
I think this session has come to an end. Maybe we can end with a word of prayer and then have a 15-minute break.